I'm here with Cass Hoffman, who is a candidate for the chairmanship of the Democratic Party in McKinley County, New Mexico. How long have you been in the McKinley County Gallup area?
We moved here just after the general elections in November, so just a couple of months.
Is it coincidental that you moved here after the general elections?
Well, maybe a little bit. Probably about 6 months ago or something, maybe a little bit longer now, my girlfriend told me that she had some interest to move to New Mexico and take a job working in the Navajo Nation on some food access projects. I'm a lucky guy that I can work anywhere in the U.S. in my regular job. They don't really care where I'm at as long as I'm not too far away from an airport. So when she said that, I'm like, let's do that. At that point, I was working hard for a campaign in Massachusetts, so we decided that maybe the right time to move was right after that campaign ended.
And Cass, what is your regular job?
I work for a big software company in California. I train technical salespeople on how to better talk to customers about the products that we sell and how to better align those products with what customers need. That's my day job.
In addition to being interested in the chairmanship of the Democratic Party for McKinley County, you are also known as someone who has started an online community events calendar for the Gallup area.
Yeah, thegallupcalendar.com. One of the things that Caitlin and I, my girlfriend and I, used to do in Boston was every morning we would look at something called the Boston Calendar and figure out what we would do after work that night or in the coming days. And that was kind of our source for like whatever event was going on in Boston. When I moved to Gallup, I'm like, okay, let's go and see what's going on in Gallup. And I found this kind of shattering of calendars all over the place, some very updated, some not updated at all. And I kind of missed the Boston calendar and decided I have a little bit of experience in technology. Why don't I create the Gallup calendar? And when I ran into somebody from the city that saw that, she got really excited and said, well, we should put this on through Gallup because this is amazing. I'm like, well, I don't think I did that great a job yet, but let me work on it a little bit more and update a little bit more, get some more events on there, talk to people and add them. And I thought it was a great way for me to kind of discover what was going on in town. And this way also for others now to see what's going on. It's kind of amazing to see in a relatively small town like Gallup that you have in the next 6 to 9 months over 1,000 different events that people have already announced that are going to be happening.
How do you vet the announcements? How do you accept submissions?
So there's a form online. You go to thegallupcalendar.com and you go to the Contact Us page. You put in whatever you want to put on there. And whatever goes on in this community, within reason, I will add to it. If you're having your personal barbecue with your neighbors, then maybe that's not the right event to add. But if you have a community yard sale going on, I'm more than happy to add that too. I think anything that's going on is just shows that there are things going on in Gallup. This is not a quiet town like some people think it is.
And have you had any commercial businesses approach you yet? You know, selling cars and other things.
Yeah, the selling cars example is a good one. I did get somebody saying, well, we have this big sale going on. Can we do that? And like, I don't want to put ads on the site. It's really about like community events in some way or form. There's some maybe slightly commercial events on there. There's a Wine Tuesdays. But like for me, it's like, well, go have a glass of wine and talk to people. There's nothing wrong with that either. So I will put some slight commercial events on there, but it should be something that's more community-based.
You can now find a link to your site on kglp.org.
Very nice. Thank you.
Now, what got you interested in chairing the Democratic Party of McKinley County? And before we go into that, let me state that so far as I know, no one else has declared an intent to run for the chair of the Democratic Party in McKinley County. I believe that election is to take place among party associates on March 28th.
That is correct.
And that's starting at 5:30. 5:30 in the evening?
Yes.
Yep. And where will that take place?
It'll be at the courthouse.
At the courthouse. And yep. And who can vote for the chair?
Any registered Democrat in McKinley County can vote. And to answer or to respond to your question on the, are there other candidates, we're not aware that there are people that have specifically said, hey, I am running. People can announce their candidacy until the starting point of the meeting or during the meeting. So it's everybody is welcome to join and do this. I think that the Democratic Party needs to be a more open party, a more welcoming party, a more all-inclusive party. So I welcome anybody to step up and say, hey, I want to be part of this too. There's not only elections for chair, but also for vice chair and for 8 central committee members. So there's quite a bit going on, and we would like more people to join the party.
I would state that if there are any individuals interested in running for the chair of the Democratic Party in McKinley County, they can certainly contact me here at the station, manager@kglp.org, or call 505-863-7626. Now, what got you interested?
Well, I'll take a couple of steps back. So I moved to the United States in 2001, became a citizen in 2006, I believe. For me, the reason I did that is because I think that if you want to be part of a community that you live in, you need to be able to talk about what's important to you, express some of your political opinions, and not being able to vote. Well, you know, that's one of those things. You should be able to vote in the community that you live in. So I became a citizen, voted for the person that I thought was the best candidate at that point. So I voted for Barack Obama twice. It took me a little bit of time to figure out, you know, who I would be voting for. As a new citizen, there's a little bit of research that you need to do. But when I found out what was going on in politics in this last general election about a year and a half ago, and I heard about the different candidates who were running, I just got very, very concerned. I joined the Bernie Sanders campaign in Massachusetts to start with because I just had a lot of concerns about what was going on the Republican side, but also concerns about what was going on the Democratic side. A little bit of a devastating loss in the primaries for Sanders, but, you know, got a little bit of a kick in the butt from my girlfriend saying, hey, you know, you got to go. If you're so upset with this, go do something about it. So I joined the Hillary Clinton campaign, worked for that for a while. And, you know, for me, if you want to be part of a community, if you want to really talk to people about it, you need to be politically engaged too. So when I moved to McKinley County, one of the first things that I did was attend the Democratic Party meeting here. And I saw a party that was ready to maybe get some new leadership and get some new energy put into it. And that's what I want to do. I want to build a party, as I said earlier, that is all inclusive, that gets everybody in McKinley County engaged, not just a couple of percent of people. And we need to, if we want to do something in the next general election, if we want to do something that makes a difference in a governor's race next year, then we need to build this party up from the ground up, build a grassroots movement of volunteers that are willing to do something for that, that are excited about standing up and expressing their opinions and their thoughts and ideas. And we should take that up to the state level and talk to the state party about that. And they can take that up to the national level and express what is the views and opinions of people in McKinley County.
The current chair of the GOP in McKinley County, Martin Link, would be among the first to agree that the Democratic Party rules this area and most of New Mexico. It's a blue state that carried Hillary Clinton. So as someone hoping to lead the party, essentially you're speaking to the choir. So what are the changes that you would really want to make given that the Democratic Party is currently the presiding party?
It is the biggest party in this state. That's absolutely true. But what we've seen in McKinley County, what we've seen all across New Mexico, and what we've seen actually all across the country is a dramatic decrease in voter participation. Now, if you look at the numbers in McKinley County, it's just kind of mind-blowing to see that. And that actually goes for both the Democratic and the Republican Party. Voter participation is not where it should be. And for me, it is working with people in McKinley County to get them to understand that the Democratic Party does stand for what they stand for everyone, and really building, as I said, that all-inclusive party that is willing to listen to the voice of everyone, where we then again can represent everyone or as many people as possible in McKinley County. So, like, increasing voter participation for me is one of the most important things. And you do that by making people's voices heard, making them understand that we're willing to listen to them and represent them at in McKinley County, at the state level, and at the national level.
Many in the country would agree that the national election results can thank voter apathy for what has occurred.
No, absolutely. And, you know, we saw that in the past general election. You see that in turnout numbers, but you also see that in the way the Democratic Party ran that campaign. They were focused on very specific audiences where they thought that they're going to be able to win with. And they weren't. And we need to get back to being a party of the people, of everyone, and not just that 1%, 2%, 10%.
How can the Democrats of McKinley County, the Democrats of New Mexico, influence the Democratic Party nationally?
During one of our previous meetings for the Democratic Party in McKinley County, somebody suggested that we start a platform committee. I'm part of the platform committee. I'm not leading the committee. So we're working with that committee to build a party platform that represents McKinley County, taking that party platform to the state level and making sure that with, like, through our central committee members, we make the state party realize that this is important to the people of McKinley County so that they can then take that up to the national level. That's how this works. You start at the bottom and you build your way up. We need to hear from people in McKinley County what's important to them. We're now working on, like, a base platform that we're planning on having, like, public discussions with people all over the county, talk to them about what's important. And that way, hopefully, they will feel more included at that point. They feel like this is representing what's important to them. Well, I think that we, as a party, as Democrats, need to come together and fight for what we've fought for so long already. If you look at the current administration and their kind of devastating agenda, this is going to hurt a lot of people in this county, in this state, in this country. And we need to come together, stand up, put our shoulders under that, and work together to create a better Democratic Party that represents everyone. I can't do that by myself. I need help from people in McKinley County to do that. Come to meetings, talk to us, help us out, let your voice be heard. I can't do it alone, and I need the voices of everyone to be heard.
Now, I understand you did move to the United States in, 2001?
Yeah.
So tell me a bit about your life, about growing up, about, you know, where you spent your youth and your adult years.
So I was born in a small country in South America called Suriname. It was back then a Dutch colony. My parents are Dutch. They're from the Netherlands. Lived there for a couple of years. And as a kid, kind of moved all over the world. I lived in countries like Bangladesh, Nigeria, Iraq. Lived in Spain for a while. And then when I was, I think, about 12 or so, moved to the Netherlands, went to high school in the Netherlands, went to college in the Netherlands, started my own business there, and sold that in 1999, and decided that would be a great opportunity for me to become a commercial airline pilot and move to the U.S. to do my training here. And I'll tell you that moving to the U.S. on September 19th, 2001 to become a commercial airline pilot was probably not my best decision ever. So hence the fact that I now work for a software company in California and am not a commercial pilot.
We may come back to this discussion of aviation, but what brought your parents to these various places, to Suriname, to Bangladesh?
Yeah, my dad was an agro-economist. He worked for a lot of times worked for the World Bank and the IMF on different projects that they had all around the world. So that's why we went there. spent some time, like in my early adult ages, and myself traveling around the world too. I lived in United Arab Emirates for a while and lived in the UK for a while and places like that. I'm a wanderer, I guess. I like going places, and it's the fact that I didn't really mind moving to Gallup either.
Well, you have something in common with the former president, Barack Obama, then. His parents were in several different lands. From your perspective, as you recall growing up, would you say that your identity was tied to your Dutch ancestry? Would you say it was influenced by where you grew up?
It's an interesting question. I've thought about that a lot growing up, and people have always asked me that question. So are you Dutch? Are you Surinamese? What are you? I think I'm a world citizen. It's kind of a boring answer to it, but I've lived in so many different places, seen so many different cultures, that I want to hope that I've taken some of the good out of all those different cultures and made that my own. I like traveling. I like going places. I like meeting new people and talking about what's important to them. Hopefully, growing up that way has helped a little bit there.
I think individuals who have lived in many different parts of the world growing up as having their eyes wider open than most people.
I hope so, yeah.
As a U.S. citizen, what do you bring from that background of living in many different parts of the world, of seeing many different perspectives? I know that from what I've seen, you're somewhat progressive. You are interested in issues such as sustainability, recycling, the future of our youth.
Yeah, so you said that, right? If you, people that have lived in so many different places have their eyes a little bit more wide open. I want to hope that I do. And, I try to listen to people. I try to want to be engaged with people and listen to what's important to them. No matter where you go in this world, people always want to talk to you, about them, about what's important to them. And I think if you listen carefully or are willing to listen, people are willing to tell you what's important. And then you can take some of those issues that we will never agree on off the table and have a discussion on what's truly important. You and I might not agree on everything, but we probably agree on 80%. We can take that 20% that we don't agree on off the table for now and first have a discussion on what's truly important to us, that other 80%. And I think that in the end, we actually end up being a lot more similar than we think we are. And we need to do that more. We need to do that more in this country. We need to do that more around the world. We need to look at, where we're similar and how we want to work together, where we can work together. We have fundamental differences sometimes. That's okay. It's not a problem.
Now, let me ask you about some issues that are being discussed nationally. Infrastructure issues that are political, but, also something we have seen more recently. Among a couple of issues that are very contentious are the issues of changing the clocks every spring and fall, daylight savings, as it's so-called in this country, the Electoral College, which many people believe has never been effective. These kinds of infrastructure questions are, I think, going to continue. Do you have a particular position on things of this nature?
So let me start by saying that as a chair of the Democratic Party, my personal political beliefs are less important. And a chair of a Democratic Party in any part in this country is an organizer and not necessarily somebody that represents political beliefs or opinions. We should be, as a Democratic Party and as a Democratic Party leadership, be representing what's important to the people of the county, the states that you live in, and not your own personal beliefs. Now, you're right. I have personally have a little bit more progressive beliefs than some others. But as a chair of a Democratic Party, or at least as the candidate, I need to listen to the people around me and represent what's important to them. Hence the fact that I'm supporting this effort to have this platform committee to build a platform that represents the people of McKinley County. I think we've got a lot of work ahead of us, and we have an administration that's really not going to work with us. But the only way we can counteract some of the disaster that's coming is to actually stand up and let our voices be heard. And that's what I'm trying to do there.
Would you say that with regard to the goal of getting more voters registered, that's a national goal for the Democratic Party, I assume, as well. Are you particularly focused on being ready by the 2018 midterms?
Well, I think we should be ready for a governor's race next year. So we need to be, and ready, you know, as ready as we can be. It's about, like, we've been working here in McKinley County in the last couple of months to get more participation from Democrats, get more participation from people in the county, and we're slowly but steadily now seeing a little bit more traction. And we did a couple of events over this weekend, and instead of having three people show up, we now have 15 or 20 people show up for events like that. And hopefully that is the starting point of this volunteer network, this grassroots movement of people that are willing to help, are willing to let their voices be heard, and that will get more people involved. That's how we did it in the Sanders campaign in Massachusetts. We started with a handful of volunteers, and before we knew it, we had hundreds of people participating in that. And that's what we need to do here, too.
Let me segue over to some previous points that were raised. Did you ever obtain your private pilot's license in the United States?
I did, yes.
Okay, but as far as commercial flying, that didn't pan out?
Yeah, so moving, as I said, moving to the U.S. in 2001 to become a commercial airline pilot, not a good idea. There were no jobs. There was nothing to be done at that point. I did finalize my training because I didn't want to give up on that. But I haven't flown since, or not, at least not myself.
What I have heard from pilots over the years is that as the bureaucratic strictures have increased, as security measures have increased, it has reduced the window for the pleasure of flying.
Yeah, I think it's like a private pilot, you have a little bit more freedom to do what you want to do. I think as a commercial pilot, with all due respect, they've become more bus drivers than pilots. And that's not really fair to say, but what they do is extremely important. You know, they carry in a big airplane with a lot of people around, and some of that bureaucracy is really meant to be to create a more secure environment. And if you look at like aviation accidents over the last couple of years, they've dramatically decreased. And I think having some of that bureaucracy is not a bad thing. Takes away some of that joy, maybe, but I still see these pilots. I travel a lot for my job, and I still see these pilots walking onto those planes with a big smile on their face, and most of them are pretty happy. I think there's something still fun there. Like for people that are interested in aviation, I think this is time to actually do step up and go do something, because there's an immense shortage of pilots at the moment. There's a shortage coming even more in the coming years. So anybody that wants to pursue a career there should now start thinking about it, or should have started thinking about it a couple of years ago.
As a software professional, looking at how IFR systems have developed, it seems that there's a great lag between the state-of-the-art technologies and the analog IFR systems, the legacy systems. You know, there have been some attempts to integrate some digital technologies to make it easier for people to fathom it, but if you look at the IFR technology, it's very antiquated.
Oh, it absolutely is. Yeah, and that goes for like air traffic control systems that still run on like Windows 95 boxes and things like that. It's kind of disappointing to see that we haven't made more progress there. I will take that back to what I said earlier. If you look at accidents that have happened, they're extremely minimal. So from that perspective, we've done something right. But I think to make life easier for pilots, there's so much good technology out there that is secure, that could be used for this to make life a little bit easier. And we should be pursuing that. There are some projects in the works to do some of that, but not enough yet, I think.
Do you have any personal views on the pros or cons of the development of artificial intelligence and expert systems?
I actually work with that in my job a lot. And I think it's like there's some really cool technology out there when it comes to AI at the moment. We've made some massive progress in the last like 4 to 5 years on that. When I went to college, like AI was in its infancy. We couldn't do very much with it. With the increase in power of computing systems today, there's so much more that we can do. And it's kind of cool to see what is coming. And we can do a whole segment on artificial intelligence if you want at some point, because there's a lot of really cool technology out there that's going to make our lives a little bit easier in the very near future.
Most technology builds on what's been done in the past. Do you see that the point is rapidly approaching or essentially here in some cases in which people are no longer worrying about what computer programming language they're going to work in, and they're starting to think about accessing that code from such a high level that it's almost like talking to a person?
What's that, fifth generation programming languages or something? We'll get there at some point, right? You were getting now to a point where you have computers writing computer code. That will happen more and more and more. Again, that's another discussion that we should have at some point, because the impact of that is actually pretty significant on what's going to change in our society. I wrote a blog post about it not too long ago, because we're basically starting a new industrial revolution where we take away work from people, we're automating more work that was done. And that's not only like robotics, but it's automated programming that is going to reshape our society in the next like 20 to 50 years. And we need to make people more aware of what's going on there and make them realize that society is going to dramatically change as a result of that.
And we're talking about political change as well.
Absolutely, yes. As I said, it warrants a completely different conversation, but we got to be careful that we don't exclude even more people in this society than we already do by that increase in technology that we're putting out there.
Now, lastly, when you're not involved in community issues, in politics, in your job, what are some things that you fall back on in your personal life to recharge?
I like building things. We hopefully will close on a house here in Gallup in the next couple of days. And in my storage unit is a big pile of wood that used to be a table when we lived in Boston. And I can't wait to put that table back together and have a true big dining room table with like 20 seats around it to have friends and family over and have good dinners. But I like building things. I built tables and lamps and like little creative outlet there to kind of recharge and think about something different than politics and artificial intelligence.
Are you at all interested in the so-called slow food movement?
Well, I do like to eat. But yeah, I think it's important that we take more time to sit down with friends and family and talk about what's important to everyone. And that slow food movement, I think, helps not only by eating slower and eating better, but also by creating a culture of more discussion and interactions with others, and not just driving through a drive-through to quickly grab a hamburger.
When we talk about software, when we talk about technology, we're also talking about a situation in which every person, whether they're in the Navajo Nation, whether they're in New York, are more closely tied to every other person in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that happens in McKinley County indirectly can affect things that happen on the other side of the planet. Do you think about these kinds of ramifications when you're involved in your community?
Technology, I like technology. I'm a technology guy, and I look at what technology has done and the impact that it has had on society in a positive way. We talked a little bit about what's going to happen if we don't watch out in this new industrial revolution. But I look at the positive influence that technology also has had. This world's gotten so much smaller. So that what happens in McKinley County can have a direct impact anywhere else in the world. But it also like makes it easier for people to communicate. It makes it easier for people to connect with others and actually learn from others. So I think that that is like a positive of that too. If I think about my parents growing up, like after we moved back to the Netherlands in the 1980s, like my dad traveled a lot for work. He was gone like 6 to 9 months at a time, and we would get 2 letters and a phone call. And right now, if you would be in a similar situation, you can probably Skype every night. We didn't have that luxury. So from that perspective, like technology has changed a lot. When I look at like the level of technology in McKinley County, I think we've got a little bit of work to do. And it's not as accessible as it could be. And there's a little bit of work to do. But that's my personal opinion on that. It can help. It can help make some dramatic positive impact. We've got to do that the right way and make technology more accessible to people here.
Lastly, this doesn't have anything to do with anything, but as a citizen of the world, I know that you speak English fluently. What other languages do you speak at varying levels?
Well, my English is okay, I guess. It gets a little rough when I get a little tired, but I'll start throwing in some Dutch words and things like that. I do speak Dutch. I'm horrible at French and German, but I can get by with a little bit of French and German.
Well, I'm duly impressed.
Thank you very much.
Is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners today, Cass?
Well, I hope to see as many Democrats on March 28th at 5:30 at the courthouse to come and express their opinion on who should be the next chair, vice chair, and central committee members. If that's me, that would be great. If it's somebody else, I'll still support that too. I want to be part of this community, and I'll do whatever it takes to get to a point where we can truly say that this country is blue again.
I've been speaking with Cass Hoffman, who is a candidate, so far the only declared candidate for the chairmanship of the Democratic Party in McKinley County, in New Mexico. Also runs thegallupcalendar.com. And if anyone is interested in finding out more about that, you can visit the site. Thank you so much for coming by, Cass.
Well, thank you for inviting me. It was a pleasure.